And welcome to the confluation of three universes. There we go. You can even hear myself reflected. There we go. So, good evening, good afternoon, good morning to everyone. Studio A, Studio B, Sean's listeners, my listeners, All Spirit Radio, whoever's tuning in. Extraterrestrials are here. We're big on Alpha Centauri. We're going to have an extended hour, but you know, I got loads of responsibility here. So I got two stations, to carry. So we got to do that clever thing at the half hour, and do the adverts for everything. Anyway, so Sean, are you still with us? How are you?
I am, of course. How are you?
Excellent.
And,
thank you.
I think you found the thing where we were talking about tax per Q. Postage paid, and the getoutofdebt.org you sent me, at the very bottom, if you look at it, has a, I have a workaround for the UK.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, so if you send your mail, so it looks appealing to the receiver, I find disguised as birthday cards works, or pink set of envelopes for male friends and blue with glitter for female. Debt collection companies put check enclosed. Basically how it works is you do not put a stamp on it and the pay at the receiver's end out of curiosity, so whatever. Anyway, he has some kind of workaround for that. So, I mean, I could read this, but it's, it's all kind of a thing. Just look it up yourself. It's like, you know, it's all on PayPal. I put 3 cents postage on it because that's what the Constitution says. It actually says all first class mail and special delivery is to be sent for 3 cents in the Constitution. And, not my fault. They didn't change it. So now these guys say something else. It's kind of funny because it's, you know, they're saying, you're sending a letter from a non-domestic address, which is not your body or your personal sovereignty, but a state of the union, which currently has no de jure government and which the current municipal corporations are liable to recognize as a foreign country, which it absolutely is. It's foreign non-domestic to the United States, in which case the international rules all apply. Of the postal manual, which is section 742, which is what applies. So, you know, they're also saying that, so it seems to me that the only authority to claim an exemption from regular U.S. postage rates would be if you were sending letters from a state of the union, the California Republic, that is a non-domestic mail, in which case I'd put on the postage paid sticker, California Republic, as the foreign office of origin. And not a signature and a red fingerprint. Well, I don't do that, but I do put the signature in, but I do have it saying California Republic Office of Origin. I had a stamp made up for that. And that's because while California is not a signatory of the UPU, everything, by the way, is run out of Switzerland. The United, you want to have something fun. I mean, look up the United Postal Union. The United Postal Union is run out of Switzerland and, apparently the UPU has something to do with actually with the bankruptcy of the United States, as the UPU, strangely enough, actually seems to be the trustee of the United States. It's sort of like all of our money goes to the International Monetary Fund, which goes to the Bank of International Settlements, which then appears to go to the UPU in Switzerland. And then it's like the U.S. then submits its bills, you know, rent and cat food and, you know, whatever else to the UPU. And they deduct that, and then the UPU then transfers that back to the government. It's really weird. I mean, and then you go to you can actually go to the Supreme Court, and there's two rows of pillars, but behind the second row of the ninth pillar, there's actually a big brass plaque that says the United States Supreme Court of Bankruptcy, 1933. And people say, oh, that's just a relic, and, but it's not. So, anyway, so, in other words, so the UPU specifically, Southern California would be inside the USA Republic, which is foreign to corporate United States. So the USPS, which is a foreign corporation that's been placed upon the United States Post Office, would have an obligation to now deliver mail to and from that state or country, and that mail would not be subject to US postal rates, since states of the union are foreign to the United States. Now, I've talked to the postal inspector who goes, oh, yeah, tax per Q. Yeah, you're right. It's okay. 3 cents. All right. Well, and I think he mumbled something about, well, you don't really have to put the stamp on it, but, you know, I do because it's constitutional. So In other words, it seems to me that U.S. postal rates do not apply to people on the land of the Republic, since again, the people of the Republic have to use real silver and gold, Article 1, Section 10. Well, the zip code is interesting because the zip code only applies to the post office. So for example, I have a zip code which is Hermosa Beach, 90254. The 90254 is only for that office. So you would actually put in brackets, because anything you put in brackets doesn't exist on the page. So it would be near brackets, postal zone, PZ number 90254. So, I mean, that's my house would be near the zip code, not in the zip code. There's a whole other complicated thing, which is called the Buck Act, which then says if you put a zip code on it, this is a theory, mind you, but if you put a zip code on something that includes the, you know, that includes your house and you're admitting you live within a federal zone. So, if Article 1, Section 10 says we can only use gold or silver, and you can't buy any postage stamps with real money today, so only pre-1933 U.S. bankruptcy stamps would be stamps of the Republic, and since those aren't easy to find, the people in the Republic might be stuck using no stamps at all, and since we no longer have any de jure post office, which I disagree, I think we absolutely do, I think the de jure post office sits underneath the corporation because the post office can print money. They print postal orders all day. Now, I think they're only up to $750, but they can sit there and actually print something that's recognized as money and actually legal money, lawful money, not money that's Federal Reserve notes. But we'd be authorized to use the postage paid stickers due to necessity. And also, if you're going to try this, you better be making your 12 USC 411 demands for lawful money. Else you're using fiat money or Federal Reserve notes voluntarily, in which case you have no valid excuse not to use regular postage stamps. Well, that's not true either, because again, there are ways to get out of this. But anyway, this is not for the sheeple taxpayers. It's only for people in the Republic who are at the very least demand to be paid in lawful money. So, you know, so there it goes. All right. So all of us chiming in. So you have to put zip code exempt instead of 90808. Well, okay. Thank you, Olive, for that, but that's not true. You actually just put, you don't put zip code exempt because they have to use the zip code to find out where to put your package. So look, I don't do any of that stuff, so I disagree. So here Olive says, so you put zip code exempt at the end of your letters or your name, right? No, you just put the zip code in brackets. You just put near bracket PZ number da 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 because you're still having to actually put the zip code of the postal office that you're sending it to. So anyway, so Olive says you have to put zip code exempt. That's not true. You have to use the zip code because they have to figure out where to put your package at and they process the zip code. So on the return envelope, by the way, the person you're sending it to, you just put the regular address. You don't put, you know, all this shenanigans. You know, I sent JP a package which just had his postal zone and where he was in Scotland and just wrote Scotland across from it. So the person you're sending it to looks completely legitimate. It just has to do that in the upper left-hand corner, which is the return address, you just put in brackets because when you put brackets on something in any legal document, on any legal document, that's brackets means that parentheses mean that it doesn't appear on the page. If you put in a legal document, you know, I demand this, if you're using their codes, which are copyrighted, you then put in brackets or in parentheses, United States Code 17, used without copyright, used without whatever else, because that's how they get you. They get you with code pleading. So therefore, it's, you know, my name, Sui Juris, the address on it, California Republic instead of CA, foreign non-domestic to the United States, you know, actually you have the package somewhere there. And then you put your address on it, but then you put, you know, foreign non-domestic, first class, express on it. And you just put it's coming out of the California Republic, which is foreign non-domestic. And, near in brackets, you know, postal zone PZ. 90254, which is, you know, for Hermosa Beach. So, you know, so there it is. Also, if you want to...
Do you want to see what it looks like? I can turn on my camera and show you.
Don't do that.
How it's ended up. Anyway, it's got lots of grey pieces of things sellotaped to the side of it that I'm sure you didn't put on. Did you type a thing with my address in it?
Yes.
Very neatly in between the things.
Yes, but for you also have to fill out a customs form as well.
Yeah, there's one of those as well.
So that's stamped on it because they know what's in it, how much it costs and all that.
Yeah,
so.
And then there's this other sheet that is itemized, sweatshirt and hat and all that stuff. And but
that's you have to do that. That's yeah. for, it's a customs form to send it to you.
Yeah, that's the customs form. But there on the top is, there we go. There's your thumbprint. And,
yes.
In the blood of a sacrificed goat, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes. Actually, it's the date. You have the date, stamp and seal. You have the date.
You sacrifice a date. That's really heavy duty for a stamp.
Yeah. And then you sign it. So that's your stamp and your seal, which is I put a thumbprint on it. That's not necessary, but I put a thumbprint on it and I write my name across it. And that's to get it to you. So, and then just read, the return. Read the return at the upper left-hand corner.
Upper left-hand. So, Morten, sui juris.
Sweet juris, which means, in my own rights as a sovereign. Yeah, go ahead.
I won't read your.
No, it's okay. It's alright. That's fine.
All right, anyway, foreign, this is printed in, and time permanent. Foreign Office of Origin.
Which is?
565 Fuller Avenue, General Delivery Number 1274, yes. Hermosa Beach, California Republic, non-domestic, without the U.S., first class special delivery, paid. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so there you go, which it is. Slam. So there you go. It's actually considered prepaid. So the stamp is a little bit inaccurate, but it's prepaid.
So and it's like, where's the fund that prepays them?
That's the trick. The trick is, again, when the United States went bankrupt in 1933, this gets into all this because then the government made the deal with the people. Then of course they've reneged on it and now it's a big secret where, they have the courts, they have the lawyers, they have the, all of these people are protecting the banks because the bottom line is, what's the short way to explain this without getting into the whole thing? The United States goes bankrupt. When they go bankrupt, what do they have as collateral? Well, they possess the, Olive is saying, your name, non-domestic mail, section, township, range, Bellflower, he's saying, California state. You're actually coming out of the California Republic, not the state, and Commonwealth. Zip code exempt. All right, well, I disagree with how you're doing it, Olive, because it's way too complicated. And, once again, the people you're dealing with at the post office, are just like, I don't know nothing about that. How am I supposed to get paid? You send stuff for 3 cents. So Olive just sent me this thing that was, something else. The United States, what's the easy way the United States goes bankrupt. Who are they going bankrupt to? The government of the United States is going bankrupt to the private corporate Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve is established as an adjunct. It's a private corporation that's an adjunct to the Treasury. So what does the Treasury do? The Treasury basically offers up its collateral, which are the people of the United States. Now, the United States claims to basically, this is slavery again, by the way. We supposedly free all people from slavery with the 13th Amendment, which didn't free anybody. It just said that anybody that wasn't already free, that any state or territory coming in, that you can't force anybody to work against their will. 13th Amendment, but all the 13th Amendment really, the Emancipation Proclamation simply said any new territory coming into the Union can't have slavery. So Lincoln never freed anybody because by that time the Southern states had already backed out of the Union. Therefore he had no power over them and what they could do. And he didn't have to start a war and kill everybody to have this done. Every civilized country in the world phased out slavery within a few years without having wars like this because it's not an economically viable proposition. That's another reason why the British never really had slavery. But, I digress. So the United States goes bankrupt in 1933. Well, they submit the bankruptcy and why do they have to go bankrupt? Well, they have federal territory, which again is only post offices and Washington DC, post offices, land that's owned by the United States, which was at that time, Philippines and whatever else. But they wrap up all the American people. They basically say, well, here's all our 14th Amendment slaves. Here's all the people we own that agreed to become federal citizens. And the best way to look at this would be, say, the state of Hawaii. When the state of Hawaii voted to become a state in the Union in 1958-59, that whole process, remember, it was federal citizens that moved into Hawaii. U.S. federal citizens. These were not Hawaiians. These were not native Hawaiians. Federal citizens moved into Hawaii, and they're the ones who then voted to make Hawaii a state in the Union. Well, that's like saying, okay, Mexicans, so many Mexicans gush into California. They're illegal aliens, but they all vote to give California back to Mexico. And then the United States goes, okay, you know, so now California is all part of Mexico, which is what these La Raza idiots are all talking about. You know, just giving, because all of California, you know, back in the day, back in the, you know, 1800s, California was, Mexico. I'm sorry. It was Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, Oregon, Washington. All of those were part of California at one time, and they broke them off into states because the territory was just so huge. So a guy by the name of Lewis K. McFadden, you know, look him up if you want to know anything about this. Lewis K. McFadden is a congressman out of Ohio. And he sees what the feds are trying to do, that the feds and FDR are taking every man, woman, and child and saying, well, here's the goy. Here's our cattle. This is what we own. I'm Farmer Brown, and I own all these cows. And they have numbers, and they have birth certificates and whatever else. So we're offering the cows up as collateral for the bankruptcy, in perpetuity, by the way, all the federal citizens and all that. Now, McFadden was like, wait a minute. You can't make a contract that doesn't have some benefit to the other person. I can't have Betty Boop come to my house and, I don't know, clean the place in her underpants, you know, and then give her a bucket of sand for a week. That's not a fair exchange of trade. So what McFadden did is he opened a lawsuit that charged every man in Congress and the Senate with high crimes and misdemeanors, basically claiming that what they were doing was illegal and that they couldn't get away with just handing their slaves, if you will, to the Federal Reserve in perpetuity without some exchange, without some benefit to the people. So the Congress passes, in order to keep McFadden at the end of a stick, really, the Congress passes this House Joint Resolution. And on June 5th of 1933, this probably makes no sense whatsoever to your English audience, but on June 5th of 1933, at the height of Gemini, oddly enough, they passed House Joint Resolution 192. And once again, it's not a law, mind you. It's simply a resolution by the House to keep McFadden at bay. And what they then say in this, and by the way, this has then been codified as, went from being HJR 192 to like Public Law 46. I mean, it's still there. But it gives you the right of redemption. Therefore, any public debt would, and this is at the same time, by the way, this is at the same time that they then outlaw gold and silver. That's another whole trick. The Federal Reserve comes out and says, everybody that turns in a gold coin, if you turn in a $20 gold piece, we will give you 35 Federal Reserve notes. Well, $15 at that time was a huge amount of money. I mean, well, to people who are all starving to death at the height of the Depression, $15 is the equivalent of handing out $350 to about $500 today. So, you know, approximately. So they said, okay, you bring us all your gold coins. We'll give you 35 Federal Reserve notes for a coin that's worth 20. And they did this for a couple of years, and everybody willingly turned in all their gold for Federal Reserve paper, selling their birthright, basically. And then in 1935, then Roosevelt turns around and says, well, now, not only are we, and by the way, this is not a constitutional amendment. This had nothing to do to change Article 1, Section 10. They all just turned around and said, well, now the Congress is going to outlaw the private possession of gold and silver, which means now you can't even own it because it belongs to us now, which was the last way to basically squeeze the lifeblood out of any real wealth the American people still held, was outlawing gold and silver coins, violating Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution. Again, no Supreme Court decision. There was no constitutional amendment to do this. They just basically said, here, now it's done, and it's all being done under the Emergency Powers Act of the president. Oh, because we're in a financial crisis, whatever. So that's how the bank stole everybody's gold. But at the same time, they had the obligation that if you had taxes, if you had a student loan, if you had something that was a bank loan or an obligation, this gave you the ability to write it off, to basically get a to bond yourself out of it, in exchange for them taking the credit. It used to be that the credit of the United States of America was based on gold and silver under Article 1, Section 10. After 1933, it became, the nation is now based on the credit of the people. Well, there's a word for that. That's still called slavery. So, you know, I'm sorry to get off on this whole deal. So, so if you just read the thing that, if this answers your question, once again, I think, JP just read it, but yeah, it's your non-domestic California Republic. You don't put California state on there. Here's the other thing. I mean, there's another interesting little trick you can do with people that want PO boxes. And I don't know why nobody thinks about this, but you know, when you go into a PO box place, oh my God, they just want everything. They want all your ID, your social security number, you know, your real address. You have to produce a bill. You have to do all this stuff. Post office doesn't want any of that stuff. Go into the post office. You open a post office box at the post office. And then if anybody wants a permanent address, you just give them the address of the post office, you know, and nobody thinks of it. Because the post office is just, you know, 90254 or whatever. You just give them the address of the post office. And now you have a P.O. box that is backed up by the United States government with a physical address, which is, of course, the address of the post office. And this is not going to make any sense to anybody. And you know, I can show you the paperwork. I mean, every single person's social security number is worth about $60 billion. That's the, if you take the national debt of nearly $20 trillion and you divide it by the number of, social security cards in the United States, which I think is only about 150 million, I think. It's not that many. You would think everybody would have a social security card, but a lot of women don't, a lot of children don't. So I think it comes out to like 168 million social security cards. But you divide the number of issued social security cards by how much the debt is, and you get an idea of how much your card is worth. And it actually has an offset bond number on the back of your card. There's a red number on the back of your card that will start with A through L, because those are the 12 Federal Reserve banks, A1, B2, C3, and they go by the letters of the alphabet. There's also many people say the Federal Reserve Bank operates out of Canada that's actually got an M on it, but it goes each one. I think A is Philadelphia, B is Boston, C is New York. I know the very last one, the last Federal Reserve Bank opened up was San Francisco. Therefore, all bills printed with an L on them are from San Francisco. I might also point out that the only legal money actually in circulation is the $1 bill, because the $1 bill is the only one that actually has a bank stamp on it saying it's actually issued from a Federal Reserve Bank, which makes it semi-quasi-legal. Now what the Federal Reserve is doing is that the Federal Reserve doesn't release them from a bank. You will notice every other Federal Reserve bill that are all the new funny colored ones, and let me point out that all of the bills, the 1 is white, the 5 is pink, the 10 is yellow, the 20 is blue, and you look at the 50, but they're colored exactly the same way as they color Monopoly money. If you look at the game Monopoly, the 1 is white, the 5 is pink, the 10 is yellow, 20 is blue. But and now they're also saying that they're going to print, that even the notes that they're printing now, they're going to make the actual printed dollars smaller, because they don't like the fact that it used to cost them 14 cents to print any bill. From a 1 to a 100, it took 14 cents. Then they took the printing presses out of Philadelphia and shipped them all to South Korea. So all of our money is actually being printed in South Korea.
Could go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. That brought the price down of printing to 9 cents. Then the North Koreans, because they had spies in the printing houses, then stole the plates.
Really? Really? I would have never guessed that could possibly have ever happened.
And
who would have never foreseen that?
And that's why North Korea is now the number one counterfeiting of what they call Federal Reserve notes or U.S. currency in the world. And now they want to reduce the price of those to make them like 6 cents, so that the bill will actually be smaller and be the exact same size and the same color, as Monopoly money. But every bill, the 5, the 10, the 20, the 50, the 100, et cetera, every bill now only has a stamp of the Federal Reserve Bank on it, except the 1, which now means if you have a $100 bill, the $100 bill is 1/100th the value of the $1 bill. So if you're actually writing a bond to do debts, you have to put a $1 bill on the bond, and then have the bond relate to the actual code number on the $1 bill. And you'll also find that, that's somebody's, that's the back of somebody's social security card. All these letters on there, A through H and L, all relate to social security card.
All right, we'll be back on the other side of this with more of that. And maybe some Fulford. Please, let's have some Fulford. Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, yes, if you're not careful with your whisper. Anyway.
Come on, he's an icon. You know, George Michael was an icon in the 80s. He was... He fell disastrously far, put it that way.
I tell you, wave me up before you go. I was thinking, yeah. He looks just like Princess Diana. He had the big earring, you know, he had the blonde curly hair, the big beautiful green eyes. She obviously didn't have, he didn't have the designer stubble. Do you remember one day George Michael came out with designer stubble?
How do you keep that?
Yeah, it's carefully trimmed.
Yeah. I just let my face grow out from Thanksgiving to January 8th or so, and then I shave my face.
So you're currently bearded?
I'm just fluffy. It's just, I'm not professionally, you know, Amish Jebediah, grandpa beard like you. I don't have that. I can't pull that look off.
Do you have that sort of Tibetan fine fuzzy beard thing?
Well, I've been growing out my face since Thanksgiving. So I, you know, once again, tradition used to be that family used to always go skiing up at our place in Tahoe. So you grow out your face to, you know, help keep your face warm. There it is. Wrap up the other thing. So here, now Olive is telling me this. So Olive also believes
the
earth
is
flat.
So
it's gotta be true, but he also believes the earth is flat. So, and he's trying to figure this out, and he has a bunch of stuff saying, okay, I see how you're doing it. So then, Sean, you would name your non-domestic male section, township, range, Bellflower, California State, Republic, Commonwealth. Way too complicated. It's, you know, foreign non-domestic from the United States. You would just put California Republic. You could put near postal zone, but you don't have to put zip code exempt. You just put near the postal zone because you're not zip code exempt. The zip code is only for the post office. It's only for the territory that the post office sits on, which is foreign non-domestic to the state. So you just put it in brackets. So there it is. So I told him near postal zone 90214. And, so now he's also telling me that, that Trump is the one that has said, and I don't know where he ever said this, but Trump said he was going to dump the Federal Reserve System, bring back in gold and silver, and it will say, $1 United States note. Now this is what President Kennedy tried to do. President Kennedy, on October 1st of 1963, began to print United States notes. He just told the Treasury, just print paper. Just give me, and I have a $5 bill that still says it, and I show it to everybody because I carry it around in my wallet. I said, you want to see the money that killed Kennedy? Because then at the same time, Kennedy was making a whole series of really incendiary speeches where he referred to the Federal Reserve as the gnomes of Zurich. He talked about how he said there's a great conspiracy aligned against the American people. And you know, if they became aware of it, certainly they would rise up in rebellion. He talked about how he would, before his presidency was done, smash that conspiracy. Well, he's just just give him some red paint and a brush and have him just paint a big target on his chest as he's doing this. So Trump, if Trump really said this, then again, let's see how long he lives, because again, this may also be, he just appointed, oh God, I don't feel good. So Rene Abydos, I think is who it is. Whoever he appointed to some big mucky muck position in his administration, her brother is Eric Prince. And Eric Prince is the guy who started Blackwater, then it became Academi, I think, and now it's XE, I think is what it is. But he's brought these guys in as basically his private security. He's phasing out the Secret Service, and even though he's like, oh, they're wonderful people. Well, the Secret Service worked for the Treasury. Isn't it interesting that the Secret Service, all they do is protect political candidates, not so much protect as they handle. They keep them in line. I mean, you can't kill the king without the permission of the palace guard. If you will notice, they were all ordered, Secret Service were the ones that were following the limousine instead of being in front of it, JFK. All of them fell back. It was the guy who was driving it, the minute, I think it was E. Howard Hunt was the one that raised the umbrella. As they moved into the kill zone, he slowed down to 20 miles an hour so that the triangulation of fire could all happen where they could all take a shot at Kennedy. And then the guy who delivered the kill shot, the guy on the grassy knoll, we now know is I think a man named, George Fams, who gave a deathbed confession that said, yes, that was me shooting from the grassy knoll. Johnny Roselli, who was a hitman for the Chicago mob, was a cellmate of, Joe Bonanno. And, one of the Bonannos told me to my face, actually, he said, Johnny Roselli, I was in a cell with this guy for 10 years, told me to my face that it was Johnny Roselli was the one that took the kill shot out of the storm brain that, that blew that bastard's Kennedy's head off. I was on a show called, Conspiracy Zone, actually, and I was backstage with him. It's strange enough, my half brother, and it's a complicated relationship, but he's actually married into the Bonanno family. So this was all less than, a little more than 40 days after Kennedy started printing United States notes that don't come with any interest on it. Look, it's a brilliant scam. The Federal Reserve basically takes the collateral of the American people presented to them by the, presented to them by the Treasury. And then they write money, free money. They just print money out of thin air. So now the U.S. Secret Service, they're claiming, is no longer part of the Treasury Department. Supposedly as of 2003, it's now under the U.S. Department of Human Sacrifice. I mean Homeland Security, which I'm not sure is any better. But thank you, Mr. Rowe, for that correction. But one way or another, the Secret Service is controlled by the banks. And it would depend on how long, President-elect Trump would live after that. Now, there's one thing, I mean, in my conversation with Donald Trump, my 15 minutes of how to save the world or save America, I've told you this story over and over again. It's absolutely true, and you guys can look it up. The Treasury was ordered to mint platinum coins. Now, these are big coins. I mean, they were ordered to mint these platinum coins. And somebody then said, while they're sitting around minting these coins, somebody said, well, what value are we going to put on minting these platinum coins? And somebody looked up and they went through the rule books and everything else, and they went, to their surprise, their shock, they could put any value they wanted at the Treasury on the coin. It could be $1 million coin. It could be $1 billion coin. It could be $1 trillion coin. And somebody came up with the idea and say, look, let's mint 16 coins at $1 trillion apiece. We walk these over to the Federal Reserve and we pay the national debt. This was a legitimate conversation. This was something that these guys were going to do. And then when everybody came along and said, oh, my God, then when it hit and that story became public, and they realized that they could just print these 16 to 20 platinum coins, walk them over to the Fed, and pay the debt if they wanted to. And this is when people went crazy because they said, oh, we can't tell people this, because then they'd realize that the entire national debt is really actually fake. So
that's blowing the scam. But anyway, look, shall we move towards Fulford? Because
yeah, okay, so here it is.
Because we're everybody's waiting for it. Anyway, look, go ahead.
So Fulford, Trump's chain will be jerked if he tries to stop the takedown of war criminal Benjamin Netanyahu, which he's not doing. Trump has basically said, let's up our nukes, let's defend Israel, please remember that all of his children. I'm not saying this as anything bad, but every single one of his children is married to, they're married to Jews, all of them. So he's pointed out that I think the whole plan with the Middle East is you take down everybody in the Middle East and you basically put Israel in the position of being the police force for now everybody in the Middle East, specifically over Syria. So here he says, this is Ben Fulford now, Donald Trump, president-elect of the shallow U.S. state, as opposed to the deep state, will have his chain jerked by the deep state if he tries to prevent the full takedown of the Khazarian mafia, including war criminal Benjamin Netanyahu, Pentagon and agency sources say. The takedown is now entering a mop-up phase. The quote, the cabal's last stronghold, the vast underground base at the Denver airport, was routed by a contingent of U.S., Russian, and other troops mopping up his progress with more raids, the sources say. In another operation, 100,000 children and sex slaves were liberated from the underground bases of the Getty Center in Los Angeles, they add. Now, the south of Chile was hit by an earthquake weapon last week in order to shake up the Nazi enclave in Bariloche and Patagonia in general, they say. This is true. There was an earthquake there. The Khazarian stronghold of Israel is now also under unprecedented attack, as can be seen by the passing of a UN resolution now condemning their illegal settlement building in the West Bank. Now, I've been to the West Bank, and I've seen it, and I know what they do is they just move in, build a house. Nobody lives there, but they just build something on the property just so they can claim to have something to possess this area, which, of course, the UN says they're not allowed to do. Now, the 14-0 vote with the U.S. abstaining will now lead to more UN resolutions aimed at forcing the rogue nation of Israel to agree to a two-state solution to the Palestinian issue. Many sources agree. Let me point out that the Palestinians were there first, the Palestinians that owned the whole area, before the UN said, nope, this other part's going to be Israel. The murder of the Russian ambassador to Turkey and the downing of a Russian aircraft over the Black Sea by the Israelis has now given Russia both moral authority and legal grounds to now pursue UN sanctions against Israel and to mount a real global war on terror by going after ISIS, Mossad. There are many people that claim that ISIS stands for the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, and Mossad assets worldwide, these Pentagon sources say. Now, in an attempted counter move, war criminal Netanyahu sent the head of Mossad to visit Donald Trump and got him to issue a statement saying that he would have vetoed the anti-Israel resolution. However, with the Khazarian base in Denver being wiped out, the Khazarians no longer have the military ability to impose their will on the U.S. government, the Pentagon sources know. The remaining Khazarian agents in the CIA are bracing for the massive purge by Trump of the Bush-Obama faction, CIA sources say. Bush was the one that basically appointed most of the CIA guys in there. None of them actually speak the languages. They don't speak Arabic. They're mostly these weirdo Oral Roberts born-again Christian types that know nothing that Bush put into the CIA. All right, back to Fulford. The reformed CIA will end all drone attacks, all drug flights, and will focus on human intelligence called HUMINT, as well as open source intelligence, or OSINT, the sources say. Friendless Israel is now expected to face an air, land, sea blockade and other actions to force that state to conform to international law. The Khazarian regime in Saudi Arabia will also be forced to end its various barbaric practices, they say. And again, I say, not if Trump has anything to say about it. He looks like he's, purely Mr. Israel here. Extra security measures have been taken for Donald Trump with Russian mercenaries and special forces now sent to disarm nuclear weapons in New York and near the White House. The Pentagon sources say one nuclear weapon under Washington has already been dismantled, they add. Well, that's the plot of Designated Survivor. The Khazarians are also planning to counterattack by creating a major financial crisis, multiple sources say, including from the Rothschild family, and they agree. Here is what a Twitter account claiming to emanate from Baroness Hannah de Rothschild, the daughter of Baron Jacob de Rothschild, had to say about the upcoming attack. Baroness de Rothschild, and then it comes out in Japanese, is going to be a frightfully dismal year for the U.S. in 2017. No jobs, hyperinflation, more debt, and impeachment. Merry Christmas, you fools, she says. Baroness de Rothschild is also making multiple death threats against Trump and needs to be taken down, CIA sources say. This was supposedly the same Baroness Rothschild that I read her Twitter fight with somebody where a guy says, I'm old-fashioned too. I would prefer to see you and your entire bloodline executed on television. The financial attack, which will accelerate rapidly in the new year, has already begun with a major push to cause interest rates worldwide to rise to crippling levels. This is being done by means of a huge sell-off in the bond market by the Khazarian mob families. The planned result will be to cripple indebted emerging nations, economies, and punish debt slaves in countries like the United States by forcing them to pay more and more for their cards, credit cards, their car, their house, and other loans. The plan is to blame the engineered economic hardship on Trump, Rothschild family sources say. Let me point out that the last time the Republicans controlled the presidency, the House, and the Senate was the elections of 1928, and look what happened in 1929. And by the way, what did they blame on that? They blamed the Smoot-Hawley Act, which was the passing of a series of tariffs on foreign trade, which is exactly what Trump is proposing. Trump is basically a new Smoot-Hawley Act. But for them to then blame the United States for trying to protect itself, they blame protectionism for being responsible for the Great Depression, when everybody knows that it was when the Federal Reserve loaned out all this cheap cash, then stopped printing money, and then told everybody that they had to pay everything back in Federal Reserve notes, and there simply were not enough Federal Reserve notes to cover the amount that they loaned because they stopped printing them and releasing the public. And it wasn't until FDR got his war with Germany, and by the way, the Germans never attacked us. It was the Japanese that attacked us, but we went after Germany right away. But it wasn't until the Federal Reserve got their war and they started printing money like crazy again that it supposedly ended the Depression. All right, back to Fulford, where he says, however, there's a huge split within the Rothschild family that will make this planned economic attack impossible to carry out. On that front, we got word from Nathaniel Rothschild, who says he has not been killed, as claimed by Pentagon sources, but he's merely gone into hiding. Here's what a source with access to Nathaniel Rothschild had to say. Quote, his family members are out to take away his position as the next head of the Klan. They are not out to eliminate him, but need his signature on a specially prepared document only used by, quote, the family, unquote, that will annul his upcoming leadership ascension. The source also said the battle continues within the family. They are losing control of the world's financial system, but will still remain in the club with China at the helm via the Shanghai Gold Exchange, of which they are a major player. Now, as far as the overall financial war is concerned, this is what the source, who is of Asian royal blood, had to say. Quote, it seems that those with a lot of greenbacks, USD, want to get rid of it and trade it for AU. Now, this is happening all over the world. The problem is that only a handful of people can actually move it around, unless you are talking about black AU, which I presume stands for...
gold.
It just stands for gold, yeah. It's
there's the black AU. It's the black AU market, which is undocumented gold.
Okay, so about black AU, of which there are hundreds of thousands of tons of it, but only 10 authorized dealers will touch it because it is not hallmarked.
See?
Hallmarked AU is not just a mark for selling and keeping track of its movement. All hallmarks also contain a radioactive marker so it can be tracked during shipment. Actually, you can track it from space, from satellites. Remember that the boys also did this to the Shah of Iran's gold stored in Thailand. Many people want the real thing now, not the paper that says you own it, as you and I have seen so much of that fake paper going around. That is why next month it's going to be very interesting. There's a scramble for physical gold now. The off-the-ledger AU will be slowly moved back into the official market and must be hallmarked. We anticipate that China, Russia, and Thailand will be the main players involved in this transfer as they prepare for the new gold-backed currency. Remember that China slipped the news out in their big billboard near the Bangkok airport a few years ago. The truth was put there in plain sight. By the way, this big billboard says the RMB, known as the Renminbi, new choice, and it has the world with the O in the world. There's a big hand reaching down into the billboard, and it has a gold coin with a Chinese marker on it, and it says the world is the O with the coin with the hand, the world currency. And it actually had what appeared to be Shanghai or by Bank of China. So do you wonder why there's no mention of BRICS lately? The whole BRICS bank thing that was supposed to be $5 trillion was supposed to fund that for roads and infrastructure and schools and, oh, how about a toilet for India? It's because there is international internal juggling taking place. They are repositioning their strategy now. They will need the physical AU to back their currency. And there's a picture of the billboard that was mentioned in the, on the site, but you can go and see it for yourself on Alternative Reality Disorder. .com. The same source says that, quote, the intel regarding David Rockefeller being dead is correct. He is in stasis now at the base. He will not be heard of or seen again unless they hologram him. There are others in the elite club who are also there now, I am obtaining a list from our man on site and will pass it to you once I have it. I was informed a few days ago that Bill Clinton, W.J. Clinton, has been denied access to the base. Henry Kissinger has a pod reserved. He will most likely go off radar very soon. Really? I guess they appear like on Futurama as just heads in jars.
Heads
of liquid.
In jars, yeah.
Exactly. Queen Elizabeth II, head of the Committee of 300, has also been put under house arrest, Pentagon sources say. Okay, well, ahead of 300, the Committee of 300 is basically Italian, and the Queen's been dancing all around, so I don't know how that's right. This can be partially confirmed by the Queen's cancellation of her scheduled public appearance in recent days. Oh, that is true. She didn't read her big Christmas thing, and it doesn't look like she's going to do her New Year's thing, but the Queen, did the Queen do anything for Christmas? She reads a big Christmas thing.
It's usually, well, apparently, I mean, there's all these, like, disinformation, sites that are putting out really ridiculous stories, like, the Queen just, you know, started blirting about, apparently, and the same with Rudy Giuliani, he's had this kind of fake thing that's come out that's supposed to be from him. Anyway, the idea is that the Queen was halfway through her speech and started blurting out some of those sort of greater truths, and oh, they're all horrible in there. And anyway, we'll hang on a second. I can stop this one. Hang on. Which one, that one? So I can drop that one for a little while, because that'll take us. Anyway, so the Queen is the Queen is having a terrible time because she thinks everybody. She's trying to say that she's got a cold, which is an ancient British excuse for "I'm in trouble," she's apparently under house arrest because she's been telling the truth. But this is very, this is totally unlikely. You know, she's one of them. She's right in the middle of it, isn't she? Or is she just going to dump everybody in it?
Okay. Right, so getting information here from my buddy Kevin Shaw, who's our man in Canada, he says the Queen actually did her Christmas message, but he says that it was actually pre-recorded back in August, strange enough. So,
it might Queen not even be the Queen.
He said it was pre-recorded back in November is what he said. So, sorry, I just clicked to that. What are you doing? You're trying on this.
So it's quite possible that the Queen has left a kind of clone in charge who's just said, right, screw this. I'm not going to be taken down for this. And so she's saying, it's not me. It's all them. They're all reptilians.
So the break's coming through anyway.
Yeah. So we're going to do this break, and then we're going to catch up with the other break in a little minute. Okay, no, so,
we'll finish off with Ben Fulford after this.
Yeah. Maybe a little chat and some ice cream. Hey, you know, I learned how to play this song about 10 years ago. It took me 9 months to learn all the chords to it. I don't know if you play the guitar.
Really?
But it's a sequence of something like 27 different chords, all in no repeating sequence. It's insane.
Wow.
It's a really tricky song to play, but I mean, it's brilliant. Once you get it, it's really good. And it's in bossa nova style, isn't it? Right. But it took me 9 months to learn.
I didn't think a bossa nova would be that complicated, but, yeah. those nasty Brazilians.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, really, it's like little, runs that go up and down with a finger, but the chord names are really tricky. But it's actually just like you get making one finger go up and down the line while you're playing the chord. Anyway, that's George Michael with Astrid Gilberto, who's the daughter of the guy who wrote the song in the first place.
Wow.
Because George Michael is the one he did. So anyway, meanwhile, at Fulford.
I've been told by my boss and mistress that I can stay until... I can stay out to play till 6:30.
Thank you.
Which is when dinner is ready, so...
Dinner's ready, sir.
Yeah, dinner will be ready, but
dinner will be in the dog.
Yes, exactly, which she has done, just fed it to the cats. So, because it was cold. I'm like, really?
We will not keep you. We will prevent that from happening.
We got to the break at 6:30. Yeah. All right, so here, give me a meanwhile. You got a meanwhile?
Meanwhile. Wrong meanwhile. Hang on, have a Wayne Manor.
Meanwhile, at stately Wayne Manor.
Yeah.
Okay, so according to the intelligence sources coming through here, the Queen, Queen Elizabeth II, apparently pre-recorded her Christmas message back in November. And as far as I can see, nothing so far has really I mean, she didn't just come on and say, hello, I'm the queen, Merry Christmas, and I just want to tell you, humans are tasty. nothing like that. She didn't morph into a 9-foot reptilian and unhinge her jaw and swallow a choir boy whole, as she apparently has been known to do. So, anyway, Queen Elizabeth, now according to, again, now Queen Elizabeth, people don't realize that Queen Elizabeth is also, the Pope, really, because Queen Elizabeth is the head of the C of E, of the Church of England. So she is a temporal and spiritual leader of England, which is another reason why it's very interesting that the Pope and Queen Elizabeth got together. That was a very weird meeting because the Pope gave her, honey and a bottle of, she gave the Pope honey, and a bottle of like Irish whiskey, and the Pope gave her a lapis lazuli sphere that then had a silver ring around it that then went up into a cross at the top. But it's what you see Christ holding. He has that sphere, the lapis lazuli sphere with a scepter, indicating his rulership over all the earth. And it wasn't even a gift for her. The Pope, this is Francis, mind you, the Pope gives her this lapis lazuli sphere with the iron cross, actually the old German cross on it, because remember the Queen's a Habsburg. It's kind of funny because now they have all these, there's this stuff on Netflix. There's a whole thing that stars Matt Smith as Prince Philip. And, I forget the name of the actress who plays Elizabeth when they first come in as young people. And now they've got another series out there, I think on Masterpiece Theater or something. It's called, Victoria. But as I understand it, when Victoria came to England from Germany, she was a Habsburg, and she didn't speak a lick of English. She was 16. Didn't speak English at all. Prince Albert was always kind of mocked by the fact that he never learned English. He was always just, you know, Guten Tag, ein das Fleißing, and that. But, you know, then she learned English when she got here, which is funny because then it became known as the, quote, Queen's English, because she overpronunciated everything because she learned it as a second language. So Fulford here is saying that she's head of the Committee of 300, which I always thought was a Italian, you know, there's a Committee of 300, there's also something else called P5, which has to do with the Masons, but all these guys are underneath the Knights of Malta. I mean, the Knights of Malta control the Jesuits, and the Jesuits are the intelligence, it's the CIA of the Vatican, of the Catholic Church, and no one in the intelligence or police forcing agencies of the world, I mean, nobody goes anywhere in those agencies unless they're a Jesuit or went to Jesuit schools, went to like Loyola or Bellarmine or Marymount or, you know, all these Catholic high schools and universities. So all these people that say that the Israelis control the world. I mean, the Israelis might control the banks, but it's the Knights of Malta and the Jesuits and, you know, these groups that control the intelligence agencies of the world. And what basically was the purpose of bringing down the World Trade Centers? The World Trade Center, tricked up by the intelligence agencies of the world, was a way for the United States to then engage Islam to start carrying out the war between the cross and the crescent, because Islam was becoming too big and too powerful. And by the way, U.S. foreign policy, as told to General Wesley Clark by Paul Wolfowitz. Paul Wolfowitz in 1993 wrote a white paper, and that white paper said that the road to Damascus, because Syria and Damascus has always been the end game, lies through Baghdad. And that paper was, how do we get the United States involved in a war with Iraq to be able to take out Saddam, go through Baghdad, expand the war, and eventually get to conquering Damascus and Syria? That was back in 92-93. Now, Wolfowitz, and Wesley Clark wrote an article about this, by the way. Wolfowitz told him, he said, look, the purpose of the United States military is no longer to win wars. In other words, military-style wars. Your purpose is to create chaos. If there are three Arabs standing on a corner that agree about something, it's the United States' job to either blow them up with a bomb or get an intelligence operative between those three people to get them to fight. And you can see that that is primarily, now Clinton was really an impediment to this. Clinton, it was Hillary Clinton who was squawking about having a Palestinian state, who was saying that the Israelis were evil and that she wanted Palestine to have an independent state. At the same time, it was Bill Clinton who was stopping the Israelis from getting the number of nuclear weapons that they wanted. They wanted a stockpile of something like 600. He said no. He stopped arming them with nuclear weapons. The Israelis then, isn't it interesting, the little Jewish girl named Monica Lewinsky, whose best friend and college compatriot was Chandra Levy, who was assigned as a handler to Gary Condit, that whole thing, and she knew too much about something. But it was Monica Lewinsky that basically takes her down, takes down Clinton. And it's B'nai B'rith that actually puts together, you know, the National Organization of B'nai B'rith, takes out a full-page ad in the New York Times that has Clinton from the back, all blacked out behind him, that says, you know, William Jefferson Clinton, why have you turned your back on America's Jews? If you fill in that picture, that full-page ad, the rest of the picture is Bill Clinton hugging Monica Lewinsky with her little, you know, her chubby little face and her little red beret over his shoulder as he's hugging her. Is that just coincidence that, and by the way, in February of that year, Bill Clinton was the first president since Richard Nixon to actually balance the budget. Now, he did it with a Republican Senate and a Republican Congress and Newt Gingrich insisting that the budget be balanced. But the last guy who balanced the budget was Richard Nixon in February of 74, and by August he was resigning. So Clinton balanced it in February of 98, and by August he was, he was being impeached. Now, they didn't have enough votes for it in the Senate, obviously. But anyway, this can be partially confirmed by the Queen's cancellation of her scheduled public appearance in recent days. Now, that she has. She gave her Christmas message, but it's obviously pre-recorded. Now, this goes back to Fulford. Sources close to the royal family say the Queen is simply avoiding public appearances as a security precaution because they have received reports the Gnostic Illuminati are now targeting her. Well, she is 90. I mean, you know, she's pretty spry for being 90 because she's obviously, you know, drinking the blood of children. I'm sorry, that was me. The other visible bloodline, back to Fulford, the other visible bloodline public figure being targeted by the Gnostic Illuminati is Adolf Hitler's daughter. This is possible. Adolf Hitler's daughter and Rothschild family member, Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany. Now, the Illuminati say members of the German army and intelligence services are determined to remove her from power during the coming year. Well, that's not too much of a leap. She's been doing a terrible job. And the recent fake German truck terrorist attack and subsequent media campaign pinning the blame for that on Merkel was just the first round of that campaign, they say. Now, to flesh out what Fulford is saying here, to give you some analysis, there's a very interesting report by an Argentinian newspaper man, journalist, that came up with a bunch of material along with photographs and everything else that claim, rightly so, if you tune into the Hitler channel, you know, the one that has the little H in the bottom corner, I think they call it the History Channel, it's really the Hitler channel because it's like all Hitler all the time. What? I didn't know Hitler was on Dancing with the Stars. Amazing. That's not a foxtrot. That's more of a goose step. But the, his information comes up with a number of photographs that show Hitler at home, very much alive, with Eva Braun, and that they have two daughters. Now, whether or not everything jives with him having kids in, you know, I don't know, the mid-50s or something, living comfortably in Patagonia, who knows? But, I mean, you can chase, as I understand it, Angela Merkel, I think she grew up in East Germany because she was, she was at one point like a Russian soldier. I've seen photos of her in a uniform and the whole thing, but, you know, actually worked for the communist East Germans before the Berlin Wall fell. Now, going back to Fulford, he says the Illuminati say members of the German army and intelligence services are now determined to remove her from power during the coming year. But the year 2017 may also be time when the secret space program and ET folk get their long-awaited disclosure. The following quote from a source in the Antarctic base requires more proof before I will believe it, but nonetheless, here it is. Quote, "The cabal are all freaked out by what they found in Antarctica. It gave Buzz Aldrin a heart attack. Very large pods with beings inside. That is why John Kerry was there on election day. Animals and people frozen in time. 12 to 14 foot humans in the pods who were in stasis are now awakening." Beep. Fascinating. One thing we can confirm about Antarctica is that while the North Pole appears to be as part of a regular map on Google Earth, the South Pole cannot be found on Google Earth. Instead, the map just vanishes into a point where many lines converge. Now, we can only speculate as to why that is. And also, why is it that Obama and his posse of like 93 guys all mysteriously go to Argentina, which is the jumping off point to then get to Antarctica? Why is it John Kerry goes to Antarctica on election day? He's the Secretary of State. He's the top diplomat. If they were unfreezing people, then John Kerry looks like one of the aliens are freezing. He is Frankenstein, after all. John Kerry would be the guy who would probably meet them if they came out of stasis. And once again, so for Ben Fulford, he says, on a final note for this week and this year, December 25th marks the first day of the solar new year, which is, of course, the solstice. And since the Christians do not know the actual birth date of Jesus Christ, they conflated the old pagan solar new year festivities with his birthday celebration. By the way, it's the 3 days where the sun stands still. It's the darkest night. And so he says, so in a holiday spirit, we would like to wish our readers a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. May 2017 be the best year yet. That is Benjamin.
There we go. There you go. The crowd really enjoyed that one.
Thank you.
They really enjoyed
So it's good fun. Yeah. So, and let me also point out, just because the solstice, I think the reason they put it as the birth of Christ is it is the rebirth of the sun in the sky. The sun does stand still for 3 days. They are the longest nights specifically. And, I think it's, amazingly poignant and symbolic that we're talking about the light returning to the world as now the days start getting shorter. And, what better metaphor for the, bestowal of the, of the Son of God.
So here's the thing. Easter, right, is supposed to be the dude down the hole, 3 days, comes back up again. The sun god. Shouldn't that be now? Cause the sun is in the south, it's far, it's, you know, it's cold, it's dark, it's in the darkness and as you say, short days and long nights. Isn't that the story of Easter?
Well, Easter...
Has that been conflated with DVDs?
Well, Easter, Ishtar was more a worship of Baal. I'm pretty sure that, you know, and Baal was a, as I understand it correctly, I mean, there's Moloch, which is a big cow god. The owl, by the way, that's worshipped by the Illuminati is not Moloch. Moloch's, I believe, a big cow. The owl is basically the symbol of Pallas Athena, who is the goddess of wisdom and the goddess of war, who then springs fully blown from the split skull of Zeus. Then you have Dagon. You know, he's wandering around there somewhere. Dagon is that's the temple that Samson destroys. But by the way, it's not like it is in the movies. They actually posted guards around these pillars so that nobody could bump into them and knock the whole place over. So it wasn't, you know, so what Samson does, he starts kind of clowning around so people will laugh. So he gets an opportunity to just ram himself into one of the pillars and bring the house down, as they say. So, but Ishtar is basically, well, it's spring. It's the, it's the first part of spring. So that's what Ishtar was all about. And, in Babylon, it was a 3 day, it was way more fun than it is now. Ishtar was a 3 day orgy. And so they had this huge phallus erected and a furnace in the testicles of this giant phallus. And, you had permission for 3 days to basically just run through the streets and grab and have sex with anybody you wanted. And apparently it was also kind of a retroactive abortion sort of thing because these people would actually take their babies that they didn't want, and they would toss them into the furnace of the testicles of Baal. So it's another interesting thing too, because when supposedly, well, they say God, but in, you know, they say Lord actually, but it was actually this being called the Machaventa Melchizedek, who was kind of like the earth commander. So he and Abraham are standing, looking over the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And, Abraham is the one who's begging for him to spare, the cities because his brother Lot lived there. And, he's trying to bargain, you know, he's a Hebrew god supposedly, so he's bargaining with him. And so He says, all right, if you find, he says, how about if I find 50 guys that haven't bowed the knee to Paul? What that means is basically homosexual sex. Is these guys taking it up the ass? Because there was a disease that was rampant in the ancient world, that they called the withering. That was a blood pass disease that looked every bit as much like what we call AIDS today, which is another reason why you have all this. I mean, you have a mass of Judaic codes and Hebraic laws that are all about blood. That if women are on their periods, they can't touch, they can't cook anything, they can't touch any knives that would touch anything that's being cooked or any food. It's why they put so much emphasis on virginity, because, you know, now the woman is new and she doesn't have a disease. It's why they kill people engaged in homosexual activity. You know, the whole deal. So the bottom line with Sodom and Gomorrah is Abraham says, okay, well maybe I can't find 50 guys that aren't gay or haven't taken it up the pooter. Therefore, how about 40? And, you know, the Lord says, okay, well, how about 30? Okay. Well, how about 20? Okay. Well, how about 10? Melchizedek says, okay, 10. You find 10 people that aren't gay, that don't have the potential of spreading this disease, and I'll spare both towns. So he relates this to Lot. Lot doesn't do much about it, really, because he's afraid to walk the streets, and then, of course, the two angels show up. And they say, well, we're gonna sleep in the streets. And Lot says, no, you can't do that. And then this big crowd comes to go rape the two angels that he's got in his house. And so therefore, this is a long way to go for this joke. Lot comes out and grabs his wife and says to the crowd, he becomes the first Jew to officially say, take my wife, please. But, you know, and throws her out to the crowd. And they toss her back and they say, no. And then he takes his two virgin daughters. They're both about 12 and he tosses them to the crowd. And this West Hollywood mob then decides no, and they toss them back as well. And they say, no, we want the hot boys you got in there. And they rush the door, and the door opens, and one of the angels grabs Lot by the scruff of the neck and pulls him back in and says, what's going on here? And, he says, well, I'm kind of hard to explain. So they said, well, let us handle it. We'll go outside. And he's like, no, you can't go out there. And the two angels go out and they say, can we help you? And they're like, oh, you're cute, you know, come out here. And they rush them to grab them, to rape them. Let us know you, as he said. And the angels just hold their hand up. And I don't know, they had devices or whatever else, but when they held their hand up, this blinding light actually comes out and blinds these guys for 3 days. And the angels come back in the house and say, this place has got to go. It's just got to go. You understand that if we let this place survive, that they will spread a disease sexually that might spread across the world. You know, that's the whole theory. And so then, you know, Lot is told, get out of here. And by the way, we found Sodom and Gomorrah. And to this day, even though I think it's a seaport or something else, they can't put a civilization there. They can't do anything because the theory is that there's, the whole place is irradiated. Nothing grows. Anybody that's tried to live there for any period of time gets cancer. And, so it's, I'm not exactly sure.
There's a desert glass. They have a thing they call desert glass, which is obviously, sand that has been fused by an atomic explosion.
It's green glass. Actually, what I've talked about is
it looks like moldavite, doesn't it?
It does look like moldavite. Yeah, moldavite is pieces of a meteor that exploded over Moldavia 144,000 years ago. It's hugely popular in the metaphysical community because it's supposedly the stone gives you the power of communication, that it allows you to channel energy and information from galactic source. But when you go to, and I've been to this area in the northern part of India, there's the banyan tree that I've sat under and sort of camped out under and all that. But the banyan tree is where Arjuna, who's the hero of this massive war tome called the Mahabharata. Nice. And by the way, the Krishna book, the Bhagavad Gita that all the Krishnaites people all hand out is just like a couple of chapters that are picked and chosen out of the Mahabharata. But the Mahabharata is all Arjuna's sitting under this tree, and Krishna says, you have to basically destroy your uncle. And he says, I don't want to do that. And he says, you're going to have to release the needles of Shiva. And he says, I don't want to do that. I don't want to kill my uncle. And then Shiva says, well, let me show you how many lifetimes I've had to live for me to become a god. And he opens up, and now you see this massive row of existences, you know, going back like a billion years of Krishna. And he says, no, look, it's karmic for you. You have to destroy your uncle because it's part of your karma. So it's just weird that you have this blue god who's identified as being the god of love, telling Arjuna, you've got to wipe out all these people. And then they have an exact description in the Mahabharata of them unleashing the needles of Shiva. And it's, and this is why Oppenheimer actually used the phrase of opening the eye of Shiva. And, you know, we've opened the eye of Shiva, we become gods. You know, and the guy next to him says, yeah, we're all a bunch of sons of bitches now, Bob. Which was the quote that should have gone on the Trinity site. But, yeah, it describes elephants.
Go ahead.
Elephants with the bones, with the skeletons being, the flesh on the elephants being burned away by the heat and the radiation of these atomic bombs. I mean, it's an exact description of, you know, what happens with an atomic explosion. So he, actually, so then Arjuna releases the needles of Shiva in this 60 square mile area called Kurukshetra, which has now all been turned to this kind of green glass, and nothing grows there, and there's no civilization. And this was basically the description of an atomic war that supposedly happened about 8,000 years ago. Is that it? Or we have our
counter
break?
That's about it. And I think, well, the break will be starting soon. Sean, you need to get dressed for dinner. Don't forget the bow tie and you can probably still get away with the shorts.
I didn't starch my shirt, damn it, and my slacks. Okay, all right, because I got to put on.
Get your valet to go back in time and do it for you.
Damn, got to get my cummerbund out. So thank you, man. Thanks to everybody once again. This will be transmitted on Revolution Radio, Wolf Spirit Radio, Project Camelot TV, and Coast to Coast PM Radio Network as well. So we're syndicated all over the place. So it goes to millions and millions of people. Thank you, JP. God bless you. Merry Christmas.
You're very welcome.
And I'll talk to you soon. Thank you. I'll talk to you Thursday.
Yeah, I'll see you Thursday, and have a nice rest of your Boxing Day, and love to Melissa. Right. Thank you very much.
Good Boxing Day, dear. Talk to you soon.
So, there we go. Thank you, Sean. And there we go. So it's just me now. What have I got to say? I'll take cause. Actually, is anybody sort of bursting to converse? Because I've got half an hour left, and there's not much to what is there to talk about? Let's have a little scratch of the old beard and see if there's anybody willing to you can call into either A or B, because I'm on both of them at the moment. It's ridiculous. There we go. Right, hang on, I have to leave a moment of silence. There. Back to silence. There's this strange build-up when you have the two stations together. This is a nightmare, I hate doing this. holding the stations together, because you've got to balance the adverts and drop one out and so they don't clash and all this stuff. Anyway, long story. I won't whine about, you know, how sad it is to be a producer. But maybe I should, because here, who has joined me, is a potential producer. So, hi. Do I call you Buzz? Shall I call you Buzz? Buzz Mac? How do you pronounce that? Buzz Mac?
Buzz
Mac?
Buzz Mac.
Buzz Mac.
That works good. Yeah, very good. I thought I'd give you a call here and see what's going on tonight. You got a couple minutes. So, hey, talking about producing, I gotta say, I've been playing around with the sound effects stuff here and having a great time then. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Oh, thank you.
Well, it's just me. I represent everybody right now. As far as you're concerned, I'm the rest of everybody. And indeed, as far as I'm concerned, you're everybody. You know, I speak to you, but, you know, I'm also speaking with the people who are listening. If there are indeed people listening. There are numbers here on my screen that tell me that. It says that. But, anyway. Well, here we are. Let's shift gears, change tones, and shift bandwidth, and enable the sideband generator, and apply the theremin, and so let's go down to the 10 meter band. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I haven't been on the 10 meters here for quite a while here, but usually I'm a 40 meter type of guy there, that's kind of the hobby over here, doing that on the spare time, and then I can say music, and every once in a while I'll do a little bit of work in the shop and, you know, that sort of stuff. So, but and listen to Wolf Spirit Radio, and catch everybody on the chat room there, and they keep me my eyeballs spinning all the time here, and I threw a hand grenade in there once in a while just to see what's going on.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you, and we were chatting the other day about all the different things that we're into and stuff like that. So have you been playing with have you had a go with Ubuntu system? Have you managed to do that?
I did look at that, and I know it's a Linux system here.
Yeah,
I'm kind of a PC background here, and I've got editing programs already for doing recordings and jumping in and grabbing MP3s off of YouTubes or that sort of thing and splicing them up and making little sound bites and that sort of stuff. And I know that you run your sound bites every once in a while in there that are pretty funny, you know.
Fascinating.
Yeah, right. So anyway. But, oh well, that's better than this one.
That was a quiet one. There's this one.
Hey, very good.
Neck crunch. Anyway.
I don't have that one.
hey, let's see. I'll have to turn it up a bit. Hang on. I'll try this one. Oh yeah, there we go. Turn up the one you want to do. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? oh, my shoulders feel much better than that. So yeah. So yeah. And, so what's been happening in your place? Are you just kind of, do you have, little Christmas rituals or little traditions that you've got out of your DNA pool that you still like to do?
Well, usually this time of the year, it's pretty much, family coming by and doing that sort of thing. I got the grandkids over right now, and here I am in the corner, but we spent pretty much the early part of the day together there. And pulled out the old photos and went through those. That's one of the traditional things that we go through. Then usually it's we end up giving away whatever photos we got, but it seems like this year we got more back than we actually gave out.
But well, there you go. There's a circulation going now. There's a sort of family currency. Yeah, I'll trade you my memes. There's the memories.
Yeah, it's time of the year to meet everybody, but again there, and my kids are all over the map, so it's hard to get a hold of them when they do show up, so it's great. So we're pretty happy with that. We had a funny day here. We had the temperatures like 51 outside right now. So in Michigan, it's usually should be about 10 degrees or something, but today was rather odd. And I guess today is an energy day too, so that's another thing that we're up against. And,
yeah,
strange weather.
Let's talk about this thing, the wave. Now, I've certainly felt this kind of I've had micro moods. I walk around the house and like I'm standing in one point and I'm feeling a little bit sad. I move away from there and I move into another place and I get a bit angry. I'm like, what the heck? I step away and I go over to make the tea and I'm feeling like okay. And you know, there's all these different moods that I'm just moving through. Or are moving through me and underlying a kind of, a twizzly sort of bubbly, an underlying, almost, it could be, if you're a fearful person, it would be anxious. And if you're a positive person, it would be excitement.
Well, surprisingly, I've been keeping my hobbies keeping me busy here, and I guess I'm blessed in a way here because I'm pretty well just kind of chilled out with the whole thing here. And though I'll tell you what, if I didn't know what was going on here or following what's like, you know, being presented as to us at the Wolf Spear and the different YouTube blogs that I subscribe to, I'd be a nervous wreck here. I'd be worried all the heck, but being informed has helped me out a lot and allowed me to research a lot of this stuff. And gosh, you know, with the learning more about the secret space programs, and because I'm following that stuff here forever and a day. That's kind of, I find that fascinating. I'm kind of a science geek as far as just the basic information. Nothing really over the deep end, but enough to keep me fascinated and. And enough to know not to stick my finger in the socket, you know. So
that's also a very useful thing. I've been playing with a plasma lighter recently, and of course I managed to tase myself a couple of times, opening it in my pocket and setting it off accidentally. It wakes you up.
Yeah, I know.
Don't tase me, bro. Oh, it's a lighter. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. This is what I've been experiencing really in the last few days. And it's also, it's bringing stuff up. Little scenarios, little family scenarios have been happening. Old feelings are coming up to be re-examined. So it's a good time, but, one might spend a bit more time in introspection at the moment. As I say, a little bit of introspection would go a long way at this moment. And yeah, because there's a pattern, there's all these patterns, and you see the patterns with the introspection.
Well, I know, I don't talk too much to my family about it, you know, about a lot of the stuff going on here, but I do, watch them very closely, and you know, if they get a little bit, you know, over the deep end, whether I do kind of, you know, say what I can, you know, to say, you know, hey, don't worry about a thing, because, you know, I don't say ain't nothing going to be all right, but I say that, you know, we'll cover each other no matter what, so, you know, whatever it takes. But at the same time, I can see the anxiety in my kids, so, you know, that's going on, but they're doing real well with it, so, and I know this election crap that's been pumped in everybody, that's over with, and I think everybody feels better just with that big blank out of the way, you know, that was like
Sorry, I missed what you were saying about
as far as you know, the anxieties that are pumped out in the media and that sort of thing, and this election stuff really. Yeah, can you hear me okay?
There was just one kind of vocal burst that didn't quite catch, and I missed the whole point of the whole sentence. Yeah, so yeah, the election has been very distracting, and while you've been watching the right hand, the left hand has been it's been fiddling with you, basically there's been a lot of abuse that's going on while everybody's been distracted with, oh, is it Trump, is it Hillary, is it Hillary, is it Trump. It's a big distraction. You know, they're wheeling out the wheels of industry and industrial complex to attempt to take everybody, you know, into a phase of new world order. But it's not happening as we seem to be, well, as what the Fulford Report is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, I try to follow those guys there and find out what's going on, at least their take anyway. I usually think about the message and what they're trying to pump out, you know, the overview of the whole thing, not necessarily what they're actually saying, because what they're saying is, you know, I'm at, it's like waiting for ascension, you know? You know, all right, fine. All these things are being done, but, you know, you still got to go out and buy eggs and all this other stuff, so it's not really hitting things here, and if you stick your head out the door there, and you realize the sky still isn't falling, so I think the people just allow themselves to get pumped out of shape for no reason at all, really. But there are some important things that have to be changed before we can get up and actually get an economy running again here, because I tell you what, it sucks around here. And you know, not try to knock anything out of Detroit, but you know, we used to be pretty busy around here, but that's not the case anymore. But hey, I'm close to retire. I mean, I'm retired actually right now, so it's not more, talk about more about what's going on in, the Wolf's Beard Pack here. This program is getting more and more popular, and I'm turning more people onto it. So I just thought I'd,
thank you very much.
Congratulate you on your successes here, because it's really working well.
Well, you know, I just try to, look, there is a merit in doing something on a regular basis, of committing yourself to something, you know, and we know what guys are like, you know, guys, we're not that good at commitment. And to do it just like one, like 2 hour slot a week, or, you know, 3 2-hour slots a week that I do production as well. It's creating a space. It's like stamping out a place. This is where I am and I'll be here and you can rely on me to be here and you can go away in a year and I'll come back and I'll still be here. And it's fantastic when you see listeners who you recognize, oh, I don't remember your name in the chat room, and there you come back and hi, everybody's back. That's a really lovely feeling that there's a kind of, a group that starts to recognize each other. And to me, that's really what it's all about, is to find people who recognize each other, not necessarily from the same group. You know, there's lots of different groups who are looking for each other, people who are looking for each other. And, this is one of the meeting points. It's a virtual meeting point. It doesn't really exist in a time and space, but somehow in the Nevada desert, there's a campfire burning that you come to at any time.
Yeah, I'm going to say hello to Audrey if he's out there listening here. He's out there freezing his ass off. That's what he's doing.
Asses are definitely being freed, frozen, freezed. Yes. Let's just check. No, he's not in the chat there. We're part of our group is out there, feet on the ground, on the very, very cold ground, keeping themselves warm, with the donations that we've been giving them. That's really brilliant. Creating,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, an Ubuntu society, supporting, amazing. You know, supporting a positive new way of being. You know, really what I'm at. You know, that's what I'm looking for.
Well, JP, I tell you what, you know, you look back on, I listened to you talk about your past and all this, and everything you've done has been directed toward doing what you're doing right now. It's so like you're right down in the middle of the groove of what you've, you know, the line is that, success cuts many a queer jig. Either heard that or not. But if you look behind you, you've been right in the middle of that V, right in that slot down all the way. So I mean, like, this is, you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing, and you do it well. So I mean, it's like it's too bad other people can't find their slot.
That's what I try to do, though. That's what my mission is. Like, okay, so the idea is like the 100th monkey thing, right? If the 100th monkey starts washing its vegetables, then other monkeys say, oh, that's cool. And then they start copying. And it's a new behavior that is, you know, slightly more hygienic maybe, you know, or it's an improvement. And I don't know, it's not exactly what I'm doing. And in a way, yeah, well, it's, it's a way. This is it. Everybody needs to find their way. You know, everybody has a way, their own, like you say, their own groove, their own path through this universe. And the things that they love are in their way. That's, are part of their way. That is the way. The way is the way of heart. You know, like you read all the spiritual books, Castaneda, you know, the law of one, it's all about this plasma spark in the heart expanding out, being a kind of radioactive, frequency generator that people, tune their frequencies up to, in order to get to the next level. It's like having everybody's walking around on 3 or 4 volts and, you know, somebody's coming into town with a 12 volt and everybody's like, oh yeah, we can charge off that and we can get up to 5 volts maybe. off this 12 volt thing. And some people can even like join together and like three of you join together and make a 12 volt thing. You know, get as much of the voltage as you can. That's kind of how spirituality works in a way.
You know, frequency in itself, learning about frequency and, how it works and, it's almost like a religion in itself to realize that everything you need is frequency and light.
Yeah. And, and it's just given different names.
If you know the principles behind it, you realize that, you can, that it'll preach. You know, you can actually, equate a lot of, your desires off that. I mean, if you're in harmony with yourself, it more people want to be around you, you know? And,
telling me.
I'm not a stand-up, type of guy who stands in front of a microphone and all this sort of thing. So, I mean, I kind of meander on and I key off of other people. So when they start talking, then I can go ahead and throw my zingers in there. But as far as, coming off with, something that's dear to my heart, well, I can go quite a while. But,
yeah. Well, there are things that send you off, you know, it's the things that trigger you off, and you can talk for hours about them. I mean, for instance, you know, you might say to me pyramids, and I can talk for hours about pyramids and all sorts of different, on all sorts of different levels, you know. And like yourself, it's all about, it's all about frequency and shape and form. And that's another part of frequency. And, you know, it becomes color. It becomes, form, shape. It becomes rhythm, you know,
becomes power,
tempo, becomes energy. Yeah.
Energy. Yes. And there's a lot of energies that aren't tapped just because of the frequencies of the opposing frequencies that are reversed or just not focused on. So that's a whole nother thing there too.
Yeah. I mean, there are things that are arriving on the earth all the time. You know, infrared energy is falling upon the earth. Magnetic energy is, we're swimming in flux. A lot of these things, are, as you say, completely untapped. And all it needs is for somebody to figure out, oh wow, if you hold a wire at 45 degrees and, you know, magnetize it and do this, it'll pick up this and that. And you've managed to trick the universe into giving you some, to transform some energy from one form into the useful.
It's like, you know, these waves that are coming by the planet now, these, you know, we may be experiencing waves that are very, very large. Very, very large.
And very, very low frequency, yeah.
Very low frequency, that's it. And what we experience at our higher end are the harmonics of that lower frequency, like the octaves that go on up,
yeah,
will be sensitive to that. And there are certain, like I say, everyone has their own, yep, everyone has their own, vibration they're sensitive to.
Hang on, let me just, All right, good night everybody on Studio A. Studio B, we've got a couple more minutes. Anyway, yeah.
Okay.
Finish up, Buzz, we got a couple of minutes.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, with the frequencies like that, everybody is subject to different levels of intensity. And as they go on, they're going, when these harmonics come passing through here, they're going to react to that. And some frequencies are going to set them off and some aren't. Everybody has their own individual frequency.
That's totally right. And it's going to sweep down like a woo.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, and you know, one guy.
Everybody's going to get noggin to a certain frequency. Yes, indeed. There we go. Thank you very much, Buzz Mac. And, thank you very much, Sean David Morton. And, thank you very much for, having the patience to listen to 4 hours of me and him and everybody else. Good night, everybody. Thank you. Don't forget, in through the nose, out through the mouth. In through the nose, out through the mouth.